Welcome back, everyone, to FinTech Mavericks. I'm your host, Nicole Casperson.
And I'm Drew Glover.
Drew, I've been thinking. Every week, our listeners hear epic playbooks from founders and operators, but how do we make those lessons actionable?
As we both know, tactics are only as good as the tools you plug them into. Wait a minute. What if we hand them the same platform that keeps Fiat's back office humming?
You mean Brex?
Exactly. Let's give the Mavericks a head start, a special offer, Perks the Works, so they can spin smarter and move faster, just like the guests on the show.
I love that. All right, listeners, we've partnered up with our friends at Brex to bring you something very special.
Yeah, this one's legit. You can get up to $750 in Brex travel credit or $450 cash back just for signing up.
And if you're a remote company, your perks get even better. 100,000 bonus points when you deposit $250K into your Brex business account. Then another 25,000 points when you spend $10K on your Brex card.
And on top of the points, you're getting some serious extras. $5,000 in AWS credits, $2,500 in OpenAI credits, access to Brex Capital Solutions, not to mention personalized white glove onboarding to help you hit the ground running.
Want to learn more? Head to brex.com/fintechmavericks and take advantage of the Fintech Mavericks bump as you catapult your business with Brex.
Learn from the best.
Run on the best.
Spin smarter.
And move faster.
That's Brex.
That's Brex. All right. Well, today we are sitting down with Stephanie Bayo, the ultimate fintech force at MasterCard. She is the Senior Vice President leading digital partnerships, fintechs, and enablers across North America, and she's been shaping the future of payments since 2009. She holds a patent for the global aid distribution network, sits on multiple boards, and leads initiatives empowering women and non-binary folks in Web3. Oh, and she speaks four languages. I'm exhausted, Stephanie. And was and was named a young global leader by the World Economic Forum. So we are so thrilled to have you with us, Stephanie. Welcome to FinTech Mavericks.
Thank you so much, Nicole and Drew, for having me here with you. And Nicole, you're definitely hired for any other introductions that I will need in the future. That was great.
Hire me. Thank you. Well, it was very difficult, actually, to condense your resume into a brief introduction for our listeners. So, you know, just Google her, guys, or, you know, obviously listen to the rest of the show. But as I shared, you've held just a variety of leadership roles across several regions since joining MasterCard in 2009, which, what an inflection point and time to join a place like MasterCard in 2009. Can you just tell us a little bit about that journey? And then, I don't know, as things come up, Drew and I can interject and figure out more of the nuances around your journey to MasterCard.
Absolutely. Happy to tell you about that. So you said 2009, and that was 16 years ago. So clearly, time flies when you're having fun, because it doesn't feel like it was 16 years ago. And I think when you're passionate about what you love, it doesn't feel like work. It feels like having fun with people that you love. So when I started my career, again, 2009, I've had the opportunity to work on the services space, on core products like debit and prepaid, on the account management, business development. I've also been very fortunate to be responsible for the U.S., global, spend a lot of time in Asia, the last 5.5 years in Latin America, as of October last year, back to North America. So that has given me such a wide range of not only opportunities, but also to see the future, to co-create the future, to work with partners in so many different spaces that could go from a woman in Nigeria telling us why an ID and a financial product was so important to her and how we impacted and changed her life, to working in Latin America in the fintech space, being able to provide formal financial services to millions of people, not even thousands, like millions of people that never had access before, to working with CPGs and transforming the value chain. And, you know, less than a year ago, I was on a truck in Guatemala understanding what it takes for that person that picks up the bottle and to deal with cash, the person that receives the bottle and then sell it to the consumer. And how do we digitize that entire experience? To working with MTOs around the world on how we can digitize the remittances and create new use cases. to now coming to North America to reinvent fintech or see how fintechs are going to evolve in the next 3, 5, 10 years. So I have to say that I've had an outstanding and phenomenal career. I've been able to create a significant impact in the lives of millions of people that at the end of the day, to me personally, that's what matters and that's what I care for. And while doing all of that, as you mentioned, I've been able and again, fortunate to be recognized by Forbes, by Alpha, by the World Economic Forum through the impact that I've done to millions of people. So it's an exciting journey.
It's an incredible journey. And I'll just state, just for all the listeners out here, at Fiat Growth, we've been a partner of MasterCard for almost 3 years now. And it's been an incredible journey. We've been fortunate enough to work closely with Stephanie, but also the broader team. And one thing that I've learned is if you are anywhere near being a fintech company or just a traditional fintech company, you have to make a stop at MasterCard along for the journey. If that is like a simple conversation or truly standing up a partnership there. So would love to learn a little bit more, Stephanie. What's it like to just have access to so many different fintechs across all different models? You and your team literally get to speak to everyone and have such an interesting viewpoint into what's coming next.
Absolutely. So that's the best part, exactly what you just said, which is how do we get to shape the future together, right? To your point, I could be talking to a BIN sponsor, to a program manager, to a digital player, to a neobank focused on consumer SMB. Like every day is completely different. But that's what makes the magic. When you have a partner that has a vision that understand what are the gaps or the needs of their consumers. And then on the other side, I have this entire set of tools, or let's say this backpack full of services and products and 37,000 people behind my back to support it. And I can pick and choose depending on the needs of the customer and then set a vision, execute it and deliver it. And again, that's where you see that magic happens. And I get so proud and excited, whether it's myself or the team, when we see those products or solutions in market and making the impact that I mentioned earlier. So I say, don't tell this to my other colleagues, that I have the best job on MasterCard. And I know they may hear this on the podcast, but I truly think that I do. Because not only do I have to think about what's happening today, but I need to be 5 and 10 years ahead. I don't wait for my partners to tell me the future. I have to tell them so we can also co-create it together.
And what's exciting you right now? Like what about the future? Like what are you just really excited to bring to market right now?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like there's two topics in the industry that obviously everyone is talking about. One of them in particular, I think it's truly revolutionary, which is agentic commerce. Think about the way people shop today and think about the way people are going to shop in the future. So we recently launched a product called Agent Pay, and it's basically defining the framework of how agentic commerce should work. Typically today, if you were going to shop, you will go to a website and you say black dress or black shoes and it will come up. But what if you had an agent and you were to tell the agent, hey, agent, I am going to Dominican Republic next week and I have a dinner event with customer. What if that agent will suggest to you the different outfits that you should wear and will provide the entire itinerary for you to get there? And you as a consumer has the last word to say whether you want to do that shopping experience or not. And you also know that in the back, our products are embedded into that agentic commerce and they're tokenized. So you have the safety, security, and trust that MasterCard can provide. So again, the way we shop today and in the future, I think is going to be completely revolutionized, not in the years to come, but in the months to come. Beyond that, I will also say stablecoins. I think this is also another hot topic in the industry as well. There's different use cases within stablecoins that are worth spending time and learning about, whether it's the P2P or P2M, domestic or cross-border, or whether it's the B2B business on how you can make payments faster, cheaper, more efficient. So I think stablecoin has specific use cases that are extremely valuable. And if I was to add something else, I will say there are spaces that we in the fintech and the traditional banking industry have served very well, which is the consumer. Not to say that there's no more opportunity. I think there's so much more that we can do. But then when you look at SMB or when you look at governments, we mm-hmm. haven't given all the love and attention as we've done to consumers. And again, I'm talking generally as an industry. So talking with marketplaces, gig platforms, content creator platforms, fintechs in general, there is so much happening in the space and there's so much more to come. And again, plenty of opportunities. So I will say those are 3-4 areas where there's a lot of innovation and there's also a lot of excitement and lots of work for us to do.
Stephanie, when I look at, and I literally wrote them down, so I'm like, 3 things to pay attention to because Stephanie said so. For my future newsletter coverage, I actually recently wrote about, you know, last week, I think there was a lot of buzz around stablecoins, even more so because of bank earnings. And, you know, it's something that even I wasn't sure about. What sometimes, even just as a journalist, I don't always want to jump right away on things. I want to be able to wait and see before I start telling my audience, like, what do we need to know? What should we be paying attention to, right? Before I freak them out about anything. And it really, for me, it wasn't until I heard Jane Fraser of Citi really talk about it on her earnings call and just talk about, like, the massive opportunity here. But when I see the 3 things, agentic commerce, stable coins for payments and cross-border payments, right, making sure that we're getting enough financial technology to small businesses and small business owners. I mean, the great thing about all of it, right, is it the common thread is access, right? Uh-huh. Is this like, and it's this access that fintech provides that I know for me is what keeps me here and like keeps me wanting to report on this industry and document its history and interview amazing people like yourself. So, I mean, is that a part of what has inspired your journey in this space? Like, was it the access? Was there a moment? Was it with the, you know, truck driver in Guadalajara or whatever, you know, like what was the moment that made you feel like, okay, I have to stay here, especially just like as a woman, as a person that can really like help shape the future of our financial services and economy?
There are so many moments that I could describe, but I will say there was one in particular, and it was probably, I want to say 10 to 12 years ago. And it was a time where I was seeing that the world was moving digital. And I thought that it wasn't going to be about core and digital. It was going to be about digital, right? Where the physical and the digital were coming together, or how we're going to evolve to digital. And that's right about the time when the wallets were thinking of coming out to the market. So at the time, I was responsible for Samsung Pay, and I did the deployment of Samsung Pay in around 25 countries, and then going to Latin America and do the deployment of the wallets across all of Latin America as well. Wow. But it was that moment working with the, you know, the Apples, the Googles, the Samsungs of this world and realizing there's a whole digital world that it's out there waiting for us. And then the more I got embedded, or the more time I spent in Asia, I spent a lot of time in South Korea, Thailand, Vietnam, Singapore, China, and seeing how that region was 5-10 years ahead of other regions, and then seeing how all the regions were ready to leapfrog, it was like this excitement of the, oh my God, there's so much that can be done, and there's so many things that we can bring together and leverage from different regions. But it was all at the end of the day of the partnership with the fintechs, because the fintechs and the digital players are the innovators, are the ones challenging the status quo, are the disruptors. And the way I work and the way my mind works is give me a challenge. There's nothing more that I love than a challenge. And that's what the fintechs do, right? So to Drew's earlier question, I'm working with so many different fintechs in so many different spaces, but each one of them has a different challenge that has to be solved. So it's, how do we make that perfect marriage that I mentioned earlier between tools and services and partnership and giving them the white glove treatment, the guidance, the tools that they need to help them succeed? And then again, seeing that in market. That's what keeps me here and keeps me going.
Yeah, I love that. Is there a most exciting challenge, if you will, that you've had in a certain region? Like, is there one country? And I'm just so fascinated by how many places you've been that you've like deployed fintech and partnerships, and is there one standout? I know it's hard to choose, I'm sure, but
that's such a tough question, Nicole.
I know. I'm sorry. It's what they hire me for is to ask the hard questions.
There's so many to choose from.
We love them all, but your favorite is?
Again, I think the one top of mind was just seeing myself on the top of, you know, one of the biggest beverage distributors companies in Guatemala, and just trying to understand every nuance of the value chain and going to that bodega and understanding how are they accepting payments, receiving payments, making payments, and how we can help them digitize that process. Here in the U.S., very different market, very different challenges. Some of them are in embedded finance or open banking, or as I mentioned, SMB, and very different from Latin America, right? The market structure, regulation, customer needs are very different. It's hard to pick one because I feel like every region has their own nuance and particularities, but very excited to work in each one of them. And you learn from each one and pass it on to the other one, right?
Totally. And that I think you make a great point, but also me, both of us understanding you've had this global role in the past at MasterCard. And I think I can say this thing. We can all say this because we live in the US. Like the US is behind when it comes to a lot of like payment infrastructure that the rest of the world has access to. And I'm curious, you having so much exposure to this international infrastructure and these international roles, and now really being hyper-focused on North America, I'm curious, what have you really brought over? Like, what are like the top pieces of your journey that you've brought over to this North American role that is helping kind of push it forward a bit? We're always trying to get that extra 1% with the US because there's always like a couple infrastructure pieces that just keep us held back, you know, into the 80s and 90s, which is unfortunate. But I'm curious, what are you focused on?
So one area that I mentioned earlier was sort of the alternative distribution channels. Those are the gig worker platforms, the content creator platform, the marketplaces. There are other countries or regions that have done a lot, or CPG space, that have done a lot in that space. And there are fintechs that are already operating and are being successful in those areas. So again, when I come to the US, I see an opportunity for us to replicate, accelerate, modernize, embed some of those solutions in partnership, obviously, with MasterCard to scale it, right? Because earlier we were talking about innovation. Innovation is not about the next big thing. It's about how do you create sustainable and scalable solutions that could be implemented across multiple areas. To me, that is key. So if you're able to do that, then it's already a win-win.
I want to touch on one other thing here, just because we're just all so deep in this fintech space. But 5 years ago, we were in the middle of this direct-to-consumer revolution, right? Those were when the chimes were coming up, massive, massive rounds for a lot of these direct-to-consumer products. Now we've really shifted over to this B2B focus. And from a MasterCard standpoint, how have you kind of moved over to that? Is that something that's kind of always been a wave that like ebbs and flows over, like, you know, over time? Or has that been a struggle at all to move over to really B2B and B2B2C focus versus normal direct-to-consumer infrastructure?
So MasterCard as an organization, we're a B2B2C, right? Our customers are the acquirers, the merchant, the fintechs, the government, everyone that you can possibly imagine, right? And then our customers are the ones that go direct to consumer. Is that what you're referring to? Or is MasterCard playing a role in the B2B space today more prominent than before? Just trying to make sure I understand the question.
Yeah, more so from like a co-brand perspective. Like, and keep in mind, like I live very much in a vacuum with the partnership that we have with MasterCard. So a lot of the work that we do is like direct to consumer fintechs, and we'll sometimes do a lot of B2B work, but you guys were just doing a ton of work within fintech around everyone trying to create a credit card, everyone trying to create some direct-to-consumer product. But now we're seeing a lot more like embedded fintech and a lot of just like pure B2B fintech. And some of them might want to create a card, but it's not as much of a 1+1=2 type of, we're a direct-to-consumer fintech, we're going to create a card, we're going to get that in the hands of gig workers per se. Now it's just an extra level of, I mean, from my perspective, complexity, but I'm curious how you guys look at it from a fintech perspective.
As you mentioned, I think B2C, right? So like mostly direct to consumer has been there. And I think as an industry, not only MasterCard, we've done very well. where there's a lot of opportunities that we're seeing a lot of growth, potential, new solutions. Fintechs that were on the consumer are now moving into the B2B slash small business. Yes, we're definitely seeing a lot there. But from our perspective, we've always played a role there, whether it's with our resources, people, tools. As an industry, again, is that we're seeing that more, that accelerated pace, I should say.
So MasterCard is known for being that great partner, right, to fintechs. Stephanie, so what for reference, if you see me looking down, I'm literally writing down quotes that you're saying because they're so good. So innovation isn't, right? You said innovation is actually about being sustainable, right? About sustainability, about figuring out what those rails actually look like in real practice. So for folks,
and scale.
You know, yeah, yes, and scale, right? You know, the transcript will give me the proper quote as opposed to and scale. As I write that down, how do you approach really building those partnerships with the fintechs that you're working with on the ground? I mean, I think for the most part, you even just like physically being with them and having, I know for me, like a big part of my success has just been interviewing people, right? Like talking to people, getting to know what's really going on beneath the surface. But I'd just be curious how you do approach this building partnerships with fintech, because I'm sure it's like a, you know, of course everyone wants to partner with MasterCard. So then, but how do you actually make it so that everything truly is like a win-win for everyone involved in that we're getting that innovation through the definition that you've provided?
To me, you have to be where the customer's at, number one. Second, you have to listen, because every fintech will come with a different need, with different opportunity, and maybe in a completely different situation. They may or may not know where they're going. So our role is, how do we guide them through that process? And at MasterCard, we have a program for very early startups and fintechs, which is called Star Path, right? And we help them through that journey where they're, let's say, ready for a commercial agreement or commercial opportunity. That's when my team comes in to help them develop, okay, how does that future look like? And what do you need? So we provide that white glove treatment, that guidance. We bring the right expertise to help them get there. And obviously this comes with a financial proposal or financial agreement, or I should say in general terms, commercial agreements, right? In order for us to get it done. And most of the times they also get an account management. So they don't have to go and search through those 37,000 people at MasterCard, but this person is going to help them and guide them throughout each and every step of the way.
And what are some of the signs that a fintech is ready, like, or a startup is ready to work with you?
That's a great question. Again, I feel like if they know who they are, what are the needs that they're trying to solve in the market? What is the value prop that they have for the market or for that consumer segment? If they understand the projections of where they want to be in the future, that more or less already make them ready. It's about providing that, you know, extra step or extra mile to help them get there. If they have a question, they can just call me or my team and we're happy to support.
Stephanie's like, and if you want the specifics, you can talk to me.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, no, I appreciate that, because you know what you're making me think of, Stephanie? You're making me think of like that Oprah quote where she's like, the most successful people are the people that actually know where they want to go. And most people don't even know where they want to go. They just like think they have kind of like an arbitrary goal, if you will. But it seems like, you know, fintechs and startups that are at a place where they really see the path, right? Like they know what that path is and have that clarity. And then to enable kind of your resources and your advisory, if you will, right, to then accelerate that path and the help with that innovation is so huge. I mean, how do you tailor MasterCard's value proposition to really meet the needs of the early stage startups versus maybe some of the more established fintechs that you work with?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's basically what I was saying. Like, if you are very early, then StarPath, it's a worldwide recognized program. It gives you the right tools, the right mentorship, the right exposure to our partners to help you get to a more established fintech. Again, and if you're more established, that's where my team comes in and gives you the right support.
Is there a co-creation story that your team's worked on recently that's been the most exciting?
Oh, there's so many. There's so many. And with every customer, there's always co-creation, because it's not about what I want or what the customer want, right? It's when the customer brings their best asset, their best people, their best knowledge and products. We bring ours, and then that you get that magic, right? So to me, it's all about co-creation and innovating and working together. So I think the key word here is partnership for us. One recent one, well, as you can imagine, I am under NDA for a lot of ones, but I can tell you there was one in particular from last year. I will say it was my prior role, in which I read an article about a specific customer focused in the fashion industry. And I was fascinated by their model and how they operate and how they disrupted the fashion industry. I call my peers in another region where the customer is based out of. And I said, I need a meeting with that customer. So I went to them and I told them why they needed to launch certain financial products and how their innovation and ours was going to change and transform the lives of millions of people. They took the call. They actually listened. We co-created together and we launched two products in two different markets. So again, very exciting because this customer was in a completely different region, launching another region that had no knowledge, no idea, no consumer target. Like it was building from scratch, but then you got that magic and seeing the impact in the consumer's life. That's the best part.
Okay. So in a sense, you're always watching. You're always
always looking, always watching, always reading, because to me, it's important to, like, what I knew 10 years ago, what I knew 5 years ago or 3 years ago, it's already obsolete. So to me, it's very important to learn, unlearn, and learn again, but do it together with our partners. So you have to be aware of what's happening in the industry, what's changing, what are the consumer trends, where's the market going? And that's where, again, you bring all the pieces together.
Besides reading the FinTech Isfem newsletter, where are you getting your best? Where are you getting your best? Your best intel. I don't know. You also work at MasterCard, so you probably have.
The best intel I get it by working with the customers, right, and listening to them and hear and where they are and where they want to go. I leverage LinkedIn a lot, actually. I feel like there's a lot that people put out there, whether it's their thoughts or things that they're doing or companies, publish article about their operating models or the future. I leverage, podcasts. This is one of my favorite ones, of course. And again, talking to people in the industry in general, participating in conferences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. Go ahead, Drew.
Love to just like change the topic
and,
for.
Sorry,
like,
and
for,
before I just, and also, I'm very big on learning. So for example, I had the opportunity to go to Singularity University to learn about exponential technologies, or I've had the opportunity to go to Harvard to learn about the leadership of the future and other topics. So again, I think learning and relearning, as I mentioned earlier, not only around your circle but like formal education is very important to me.
That's awesome, and one thing that I've learned just by partnering with MasterCard for as long as I have is you guys have one of the best teams in the space. And I know, you spend a lot of your time building a best in class team when it comes to digital partnerships and BD. I'm just curious, as you're building out your team, as you're bringing in these folks that basically get a similar type of exposure to the world as you do, like, how are you thinking about hiring people on your team to continue kind of just pushing out the growth of MasterCard? Because are you trying to hire people like you? Like, I'm so curious, like what does that DNA look like?
That's such a great question, Drew. I try to look for people that think differently, right? To me, the diversity in thought, in background, in skill set is what makes us a better team. I'd rather hire people when in areas that I don't know, because then they can help me be better. When my team wins, I win. And if I win, they win. I look for people that have accountability, that have ownership, that have leadership, that are looking for those blind spots, those gaps. And again, are taking that ownership, accountability, and driving with those things. I look for people that are customer oriented and that listen and understand what the customer is saying. So those are some of the skill sets that I look for.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead, Drew.
Oh, no, you go.
Okay, I'll go. Well, I was going to say, do you have any, advice for the fintech startups that are looking to partner with institutions like yours? And maybe some of the biggest opportunities that you're seeing for the fintech corporate collaboration. Maybe they align with my sticky note here of what you said earlier.
I will tell this fintech, don't underestimate the power of storytelling, because again, in your storytelling is going to tell who you are, where do you want to go, and how I can help you. I will say innovation doesn't happen in silos, right? Innovation is going to happen through partnerships, not only with MasterCard, but you need to think about the regulators and other partners out there and the community and how do we work together. So as I said, when we started talking, it's about what do you bring to the table, what those partners bring to the table, and how do we marry those things? That will be, I guess, my best advice to them. And whenever they're ready, again, just give me a call or to my team. We're happy to help.
Right. And with some of the bigger opportunities and the places that you're really excited about, right, being those kind of core three, I imagine, right, the agentic commerce, the stable coins, and just small businesses and SMBs. Yeah. And bringing forth there. No, I love it.
And not to say that there's no more. There's definitely more to do in so many other areas. But I will say, to your point, those are the ones that I think are top of mind for everybody, that there's gaps and opportunities.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. I mean, what do you want maybe the next generation of fintech leaders to prioritize that maybe we haven't enough? And it doesn't necessarily have to be like, you know, these agentic AI or topics, right? Is it more characteristics or more focus on access? You know, what is it? What do you think that we should be paying more attention to, and you'd like to see more fintech leaders paying attention to?
In terms of fintech leaders, I will bring it back to creating scalable, sustainable and scalable solutions, as we said, right? Don't think about the short term. Don't think about a specific segment that is very niche. Think about how you can create a solution that can impact many, that will last longer, and that you can build on top of that and diversified, whether it's your revenue or the servicing model that you have. I think there's a lot of opportunities. Yes, you have your core, obviously, as usual, have it. But how can you also then expand to all those other areas, some of the ones that we've mentioned today?
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I love it.
As you're partnering with a lot of different folks that are looking to partner with MasterCard, I'm assuming sometimes you almost have to put on like that VC hat and say to yourself, is like, you're investing in them just as much as they're investing in you. And so as you move through that process, I'm positive there's many times where you have to say no, either you're not ready or this is just not an ideal partnership. How are you underwriting these different partnerships? And when is it the right time to say, hey, maybe it's not a right now, maybe it's a tomorrow, or maybe there's a couple things you need to do before we can lean into this as a partner?
That's a fantastic question as well. It really depends on the stage of the startup, right? If we feel that it's too early, well, perhaps the StartPath program is the best program for them. If they're, let's say, in the middle and what they need is guidance, then we're more than happy to give them the guidance. But beyond that, we also have a services team that provides that consultant engagement, that one-on-one that can get them through the right place. Sometimes they may say, okay, you know, after having all this discussion, I feel that now I have a lot of homework to do. Let me come back to you. And then they come back. Or perhaps they say, you know what? I thought that I needed this. After this conversation, I realized that I have this. Can you still help me with this? And let's say 99.9% of the times we can help them with this through other products and services and solutions that we may have. So it's not that no is the answer. It's just trying to see how do we guide them and help them get to the right place.
I love it. And before we jump into a few rapid fire questions, if you had one message for the fintech industry right now, what would it be?
There's so many messages I can give. I will say that these are very exciting times. There's a lot of spaces and opportunities for you to have a key differentiator role. We are here from a MasterCard perspective to partner with you and help you find that right path and get to the right place. Let us know how we can help you and how we can support you. As I mentioned earlier, be true to your story, your narrative, and who you are. Set your goals, set your time frame as well. define where you want to go. And I promise you that if you do those things, and again, you think on that sustainable and scalable solution, and you believed in partnership, you are going to be successful. Because I think those things are the magic formula to success, especially in this space.
Wow. Oh, I love it. I love a step-by-step guide to success.
we'll do another podcast with step-by-step guide to be successful.
Yeah, we're gonna package that up.
I know. We're gonna need it. We're gonna have to have a part two here, Stephanie. That's great. I think so. Once again, you know, for listeners, those are the things that you're looking for, right? And that kind of, those are like the green flags, if you will, that enable you to say, you know, this is something I want to pursue or get to know more or that kind of thing. But of course, there are things like Star Path, like you said before, for the startups out there that want to, get in on some of the resources and partnership opportunities with MasterCard. Are you ready for some rapid fire questions?
Bring it on.
Okay. All right. I'm going to ask you just a few questions. The first thing that comes to mind, and then Drew and I are going to react however we react to it. So here we go. All right. The first morning beverage of choice.
Green juice.
Dive in. What kind of green? AG1? What? Smoothie? What?
I will say celery, apple, ginger, spinach. That would be my favorite one. I don't drink coffee. A lot of people get surprised. They're like, how do you have all this energy and how do you
I don't drink coffee?
Oh, there you go. That makes two of us. I just never drank coffee and my energy and the way I operate is without coffee. So green juice.
Love.
Nicole's still processing. You can tell.
I'm like, I can't even tell you how many coffees are consumed in FinTech is Fem headquarters. All right, between me and my
Zolti. Without coffee, imagine you were to give me coffee.
I mean, then maybe we would just double the amount of partnerships available. We'll stick to the green juice. Okay, so I'm gonna do it to you. I'm not gonna lie, I added this one as we were talking. Your favorite country that you visited?
I am obsessed with Italy. I think I must have been Italian in my prior life. I speak the language. I even understand Sicilian and can speak Sicilian beyond Italian.
Wow.
But when you think of technology, then I have to say someone like a Singapore, China, South Korea. Mm-hmm. It's just fascinating. If you think of people that are warm and welcoming and receiving, I have to say like a Colombia, a Chile, a Peru. Again, it's just really hard to pick one country. I feel like every country has their own uniqueness and culture and history.
Those were all great responses awesome. And options. And
also jealous you can speak all those languages too. Where you know
what for? What are the what
if
are
I
the
go
four?
There, I'm just waving. Yeah.
So Italian. You're speaking Italian. What else?
Italian, obviously English, Spanish, French, and I have a 4.5. So Portuguese comes from Latin roots, and because some of the other languages are also from Latin, I can understand and I can read it. If you speak to me, I'll understand. I also spent a lot of time in Brazil in my prior role. I just have a little bit of a hard time speaking it because I've never taken Portuguese classes, but those are the 4.5 languages that I speak.
Wow. So cool. Wow. No, and it must just be so fun to be able to go to those countries, and even just having like a little language is nice. Like I'm still heavily working on my Spanish, but every time I go to Mexico, I get a little bit better, you know?
There you go. All right. But even talking to customers and partners, when you talk to them in their same language, there is a connection there that has no barriers, that is completely different than talking to them in, you know, other languages. So I think it's very important at the personal level and professional level.
100%. A quote that gets you through the hard days.
Fall 7 times, get up 8. To me, it's all about resilience. And I learned this from my mother, not to get so personal, but she has a disability and certain disease that it makes it really hard for her to get up every day and do what she does. And I've seen her at her worst. And regardless of the situation, she gets up every single day and she motivates those around her. And, you know, I hope to be one-third, one-tenth of the woman that she is. So to me, I apply that to my everyday. Like, I can fail 10 times and I'll get up 20 times until we get it done and we do it right.
Hell yeah.
Right on.
Thank you so
right
much. On. That was beautiful, Stephanie. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And
thank you.
We get a lot of mom shout outs on this show. So we're going to give one out as well for yours and her beautifulness. Let's see. Oh, a founder trait that you always bet on.
I will say resilience. Same thing. If you're a founder, you have to know that you're going to fail and fail and fail. But then when you win, you will win big time. And that's going to be the best and most rewarding time. So you cannot give up. You have to keep trying until you get it.
Yep. My co-founder also likes, who also happens to be my husband, he likes to tell me that we don't learn from our successes. We learn the most from our failures. So he will appreciate you saying such a thing.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Oh, two more questions for you. Okay. So a startup category that you cannot stop thinking about.
I think I already gave it away. if I have to pick one, SMB. Like, there's so much to be done and super excited about that space. So SMB.
I concur. All right. And the last question for you, Stephanie, best career advice you have ever received.
There's a couple, but I will say there's one in particular that I learned probably in 2009, 2010. And it was from Carla Harris. She has two books. One is called Strategize to Win and Expect to Win. And I feel like a lot of my career was shaped on those books. And you can see her TED Talks, or you can see her on LinkedIn in different areas, how active she is and how she brings all her personalities to work and how she brings her authentic self. But beyond that, she talked a lot about the buddy, the mentor, and the sponsor. And who are those three individuals in your professional life and how they sort of become your board of directors and how you can lean in on your board of directors and what's the purpose of each one of them in your career. That has served me very well. I have a lot of mentees, as you can imagine. And that's one thing that I teach them or encourage them to read that book, because again, I think it has a lot of powerful nuggets of information that can help you, especially when you're earlier midtime in your career.
Okay. Yes. Oh, that is actually
personal board of directors. Yeah.
We need another podcast for that one as well.
I know. Well, the part two apparently is coming. And as I'm sure that folks will want to hear more. Stephanie, this is so amazing. Thank you so much for sharing all of your pieces of advice, giving us the insight into how you're looking at partnerships with fintech companies, and I hope that a lot of the fintechs and startup founders that are listening to this are able to set themselves up for success and be able to follow your roadmap so that they can have great partnerships with large institutions that help get our definition of innovation to be more across the world, just like the work you've done since 2009. So thank you so much, Stephanie, for joining us.
Thank you both for having me.
I'll give a plug to MasterCard real quick. If you are a company that is all interested in fintech, that is growing, that is scaling, MasterCard is not just a place where you go get a credit card. It's a place where you go learn about fintech. So literally hit them up, hit up Stephanie, hit her team. They're the best in the game.
Absolutely. Thank you both for having me. This has been a pleasure. Looking forward to continue working and partnering with both of you and transforming the fintech space.
Yes. Thanks, Stephanie.
Thanks, Stephanie.